Thanks, Musi. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we'll be talking about assessing the diversity and abundance of nitrate ammonifiers in manures. So nitrate ammonifiers are the microorganisms responsible for the process of nitrate ammonification, or also which is commonly known as DNRA, disimilatory nitrate reduction to ammonium. So the first question which comes to our mind is, what would be the importance to study DNRA? So through this entire presentation, I'd be using nitrate or nitrite ammonification instead of DNRA, because that's kind of easier, I feel, or at least, you know, to convey to the farmers. I think that's the easier term. So this is a very simplified nitrogen cycle. So the nitrogen in the organic inputs are usually mineralized to ammonium by the process of mineralization, and ammonium under aerobic conditions is nitrified to nitrate. Now nitrate can be further denitrified to either nitrous oxide gas or nitrogen gas by the process of denitrification. So the importance of this specific process which we are going to speak about is that it reduces nitrate back to ammonium. So the amount of nitrate basically available, which could be, you know, potentially denitrified to nitrous oxide or even lost through the leaching process, would be reduced. So nitrate ammonification could help conserve nitrogen in the soil system. And we used NRFA gene, which is a functional gene, for which encodes for the enzyme NRF, which stands for nitrite reductase by formate, and it's used as a genetic marker to track the nitrite ammonifiers. So manures which we apply to the soil contain bacteria that could conduct this process, and the farmers they apply manure as a source of nitrogen. Thus, manure application would enrich soils with these kind of bacteria which can conduct the nitrate ammonification process. Now, depending on the manure handling and storage techniques, the dairy farmers, they either use raw manure, or if they have an anaerobic digester, they digest the raw manure and use the digested manure for their nitrogen source to the crops. So a quick overview of the anaerobic digestion process. So the raw manure is introduced to the anaerobic digestion, the anaerobic digester, and depending on the capacity of the digester, some of the dairy farmers, what they do is they add some organic wastes to the raw manure, because that increases the carbon and therefore, you know, that increases the methane production from the anaerobic digestion process. And this process is called co-digestion. So the product which comes out from the digester is called digestate, and they separate it to solid and liquid. The solid is basically used for the bedding material for their dairy cows, and the digested liquid is used as a nitrogen fertilizer for the crops. So we really don't know the effect of anaerobic digestion on the microbes which could conduct nitrate ammonification process. So the objectives for this study is to characterize and measure the abundance of nitrite ammonifying bacteria in manures from diverse dairy farms, and also to evaluate the effect of anaerobic digestion and manure composition on such communities. So we collected manure samples from 5 different farms and in Pennsylvania. And the manures were categorized into 2 categories, before and after the digestion. So we had 3 kinds of manure before, like for the before digestion category. We had raw manure. We had raw manure plus food waste, which is used for co-digestion. And then raw manure from the added to grease, which is from the restaurant grease traps. And for the after digestion manure, we have 2 types. The digestate, which is, you know, the material directly coming out from the digester, and then the separated liquid which is applied to the crops. So what we did for this project was we looked into the physicochemical properties of manure, that is the total solids, the total carbon, total nitrogen, and the CN ratio, and also the ammoniacal N in the manure. And we extracted DNA and we run qPCR on the NRFA functional gene to measure the abundance. And we also did the amplicon sequencing for NIRFA on Illumina MySeq platform to know the community composition. So the reads which we got from the sequencer, we quality processed those reads using Mother, and then the trimmed and the unique sequences were further translated to amino acids and globally aligned using the fungene pipeline. And then after we got the amino acids, we did the amino acid clustering using Chime at 70% cutoff. And then further classified the amino acid O2Us by using protein-protein blast. And then analyzed using softwares R or Kaneko 5. Okay, so let's look into the results. So in this figure, in the x-axis, we have the different types of manure. And in the y-axis, we have the NIRFA gene copy numbers per gram of the fresh pellet. So what was really the take-home from this graph would be there was a 10-fold lower nitrate ammonifier abundance in the raw manure, which is here, as compared to the other type of manures. And just for the sake of methods, for per gram fresh pellet, we mean, so when we did the DNA extraction, we spun down the DNA, we spun down the manure samples, and we used the pellet, 0.25 grams of the pellet to extract the DNA. So we looked into species richness for these communities, and we found so the graph pattern is similar. You know, in the x-axis we have the different kinds of manures, and in the y-axis we have the amino acid O2U numbers. So we found that the higher species richness of these communities in the raw manure as compared to the co-digested manure. So next we looked into the Shannon diversity, because we were interested not only in the richness, but also the richness and the evenness of such communities. So the take home from this graph would be that the raw manure overall had a higher Shannon diversity as compared to the digested manure. And there was a bit of variation within the kinds of raw manure, but the real thing was, you know, pre or post digestion of manure. And also, I want to mention this, that we, during the library preparation step, so we did a two-step, PCR for the sequencing. And we used two different types of annealing temperature, because we really wanted to see that by lowering the annealing temperature from 51 degrees C, which is the published annealing temperature for these set of primers, if we reduce that temperature to 45, will we be able to capture some extra diversity? Because the idea is, the higher the annealing temperature, the more specific is the binding of the primers to the samples. And we found that the Shannon diversity at 45 degrees C was slightly higher than the 51 degrees C. And I'm going to talk about the effect of annealing temperature later in my slides. But now we'll focus on raw versus digested manure. So we created a heat map, and what we found out that there was very distinct clustering between the digested manure, within the digested manure and the raw manure. So basically, the NIRFA community composition was very similar for the digested manure, irrespective of the fact whether it was the digested before the solid liquid separation or the digested liquid. And also for the raw manure, we had three different kinds of raw manure. So the major, so it played a role, but not to a very, you know, large extent. So what mattered was either whether it was digested or it was raw. So we did some ordination analysis, non-metric multidimensional scaling with the amino acid O2Us, and also the physical, physicochemical properties of the manure. And what we found out here was that the raw manure and the digested manure were in two different clusters, which would suggest that there is difference in the amino acid OTUs. And also, if you look into the vectors, so the vectors are the physicochemical properties of manure. So the vectors like carbon to nitrogen ratio, the total solids, the total carbon, these were all aligned towards the raw manure cluster, which would suggest that raw manure had higher amount of carbon total solids. However, if you look into the ammonium vector, the vector for the ammonium, you'll find that it's more closer to the digested manure, which suggests that, you know, after digestion, the amount of ammonium N would increase. So coming back to the two different annealing temperature, we did some principal coordinate analysis on the NIRFA communities, and we found out that, this graph, the PCOA graph, the black dots represent the annealing temperature 45 degrees C, whereas the red blocks represent the annealing temperature 51 C. So what we found that by changing the temperature, there is a shift in the NIRFA community composition, which was really exciting. So what we did next was we wanted to see the effect of both annealing temperature and raw versus digested manure on the phyla level distribution. So both annealing temperature and pre or post digestion played a vital role in deciding who is present there. As for example, if you look into the Bacteroidetes, the relative abundance of Bacteroidetes at 45 degrees C in the raw manure is lower as compared to the digested manure. However, if you look into the 51 degrees C, the trend seems to have changed. And now the raw manure and the digested manure are kind of similar with respect to a relative abundance for Bacteroidetes. Another example would be Firmicutes. So at 45 degrees C, it's a lower temperature, so we could catch some Firmicutes. But at 51 degrees C, which is more specific binding of the primers, we really didn't have any Firmicutes. So annealing temperature really plays a vital role. So the conclusion, the anaerobic digestion of manure and annealing temperature played a crucial role in determining the NIRFA community composition. And the type of co-digestion affected the NIRFA diversity, that's true, but it was mostly regulated by pre- and post-digestion process. So we are still working on some incubations where we are hoping to look into the persistence of these communities in the manured soils and also how it relates to the function, which would be nitrous oxide emissions in our case. Thank you. So usually, amino acid, so we translated the nucleotides. So usually for 16S, if it's nucleotides, we use 97. For functional genes, like you have seen that 90% cutoff is usually used. But for amino acids, I think it's more, you know, looking into the end products for the nucleotides. So I think 70%, and we have some papers which suggests, you know, that 70% would be a good cutoff, because multiple nucleotide code, like sequences, could yield the same amino acids. No, amino acid cutoff, because we translated. Yep. So for this set of primers, you know, people have used annealing temperatures from 51 to 55. There hasn't been any published, papers with 45 degrees C. But we wanted to see, you know, how
specific that is, because there is a wide range of that, you know, temperature that people have been using. And we saw some similarities but also some differences.